From the ESPN 1450 Sports Center, good afternoon. I'm Channing Poole, heading into the season opening weekend for the Virginia football team, as tomorrow at 3:30, the Wahoos take on UCLA in Pasadena. Head coach Mike Lemon with some quick keys on both sides of the ball against the Bruins.
We didn't give up any sacks against them last year. That was one of the things offensively for us that we were in the plus category for, so we'll have to continue to keep doing that and then try to find ways, again, that we can attack, you know, protections or whatever it might be.
Speaking of UCLA, the top-ranked Virginia women's soccer team faces off against the Bruins tonight at 8 o'clock out in California. The Wahoos off to a 3-0 start of the season. Meanwhile, the second-ranked Cavalier men's team hosts Tulsa tonight at Klockner Stadium. Match begins at 7 o'clock. Major League Baseball tonight at 7. The Orioles are at the Blue Jays while the Nationals host the Braves. And finally, NASCAR, the Sprint Cup Series heads to Darlington Sunday night. And that's the latest from the ESPN 1450 Sports Center.
From the ESPN Radio 1450 Local Sports Center. Good morning. I'm Jay James.
Correntes up the floor to Toby, who will flush it through with a one-hand jam.
The Cavalier men's basketball team wins the Charleston Classic 83-66 over George Mason last night. London Parentes with 16 points and 11 assists was the tournament MVP.
But our offense is definitely picking up. I feel like we're playing with a lot of confidence, playing with some rhythm.
The Cavalier women's basketball team gets an 81-46 win over Longwood to improve to 4-0. Virginia head coach Joanne Boyle.
But it's a good game for us. You know, we're heading into a really tough tournament, so it was a good game for everybody to get minutes, get a little break with some of the starters.
And the Virginia football team earns a 42-34 win over Duke, setting up the showdown with Virginia Tech on Saturday at noon. Virginia head coach Mike London.
Another close game against a good football team. You know, you talk about playing games and finishing games. This is the one that we were able to finish.
That's the latest from the ESPN Radio 1450 Local Sports Center.
Line moving left to right. Hearn going to tuck it upfield. He's got a big hole. He's going to scamper through that hole. And he is across the 25-30 all the way out to the 43-yard line. What a run from Sam Hearn. Turns to his sideline, indicates first down, and the Western fans that have made the trip are amped up as once again Sam Hearn doing it all for Western Albemarle tonight from their own 46. A receiver left, three right. Snap to Hearn. Steps up, throws over the middle. He's got Domek, sheds the defender. He's across the 30, 20, 10. 3-2-1. Western is up by two touchdowns on a hookup from Sam Hearn to Derek Domek. Monticello gets oh so close. Down to the Western one before fumbling it away, and the Warriors capitalize. 20-7 is the Western lead with the PAT pending.
He's going the other direction for the Hoos. Lobs it up the floor. And Toby, who will send it down with the alley-oop pass of beauty from London Parentes, and another timeout for Jim Boeheim, who is the one searching near and far for answers now. Cavaliers can take this one to the finish line now. What a feeling. Here in Syracuse, New York, where Virginia has done it again, twice as nice. The Cavaliers, ACC regular season champions for the second time in as many years. 59-47, our final score here from Syracuse, as the Wahoos have done it again. The first team since 1974, not named Duke or North Carolina, to secure back-to-back regular season championships.
Thanks, Dave. We're here with Coach Bennett. Coach Bennett, 2 years in a row, you guys clinched the regular season title. What does that mean for your team and your program?
Yeah, it's really wonderful. Credit to how everybody, my staff is unbelievable. These guys, the players have just, even the way we got it here on the road after starting, and we struggled so bad to, we turned the ball over. We looked like we were scared to death out there. But we found ways, and we held enough in there with our defense, and we got ourselves on track. And then the guys just, they responded. They're resilient, Ted. That's what we talk about all the time.
Talk about the slow start. Was it more about what Syracuse in the zone, the much talked about zone, or more what you guys weren't doing against the zone?
It's probably both. I mean, they're long, they're big. We were just standing, as I said, like scarecrows. We were trying to pass, and you have to have a level of assertiveness. And then when you miss some shots, you know, it tightens up a little bit. But we got a couple buckets, and we just kept trying to defend and said if we can just get it going. And then London really started making some plays for us, and we got some offensive rebounds, which is huge. You look at the rebound total, 16 offensive rebounds, 42-20. That's what we talked about as a key coming in.
We talked about the rebounds. Obviously, that's an area you guys would, you know, could take advantage. Did you anticipate that that Syracuse was going to shoot the ball as poorly as they did against you guys?
Well, you know, they have weapons, but they at times they've showed they've been streaky. They've been hot in some games, and they've also been cold. And so we just wanted to really jam the lane, make it hard for Christmas with the stats he's been putting up to get going. So we just packed him hard and trapped him hard and made him earn his stuff, and then knew that, you know, with Cooney, he's going to shoot some unorthodox shots, the bank shot from 29. We'll live with those. A couple of them we'll live with, but we just contested all those looks and did what we did.
You guys are running through this league, obviously some tough wins that you've had to come up, but you've done it throughout this season, and now you close out the regular season with the game on the road against Louisville. What are you anticipating from this next game?
Well, this is about us playing quality basketball as we head into postseason play now, into the ACC tournament and obviously going into the NCAA tournament. So we want to play at a high level. We want to keep this thing going. We don't want to say, okay, we got to, just like today, we say, okay, you got a piece of it, a share of it. You don't want to come in here and say, we're going to be something different. Now we want it outright today. Well, we're going to Louisville, and this is about how we play is important for what we're trying to establish down the road.
Coach, thanks for your time. Congratulations on the regular season crown. Good luck against Louisville.
Four-man rush. Johns has to scramble to his right. Gets a good block. Looking downfield. He's lobbing into double coverage. Severin reaches back. He made the catch. Touchdown, Virginia. Kanan Severin with two defenders draped all over him. And we are one PAT away from a second overtime. The snap and the handoff. Ellis again trying to find the opening. He plows ahead. Touchdown, Virginia. The Cavaliers will win it in overtime. What a homecoming treat here at UVA.
I tell you, Dave, what a way to fight and fight and fight to get this win. I tell you, I can't picture a team that deserves it more than this young Cavalier team now. This is what success looks like, and this is something for them to build on as this season moves on.
All right, Matt, first thing, guys, talk about how big this win is, Matt. You know, you guys come in here 1-4. You go to triple overtime. Put it into words to get a W here tonight.
You know, we're speechless. You know, I'm just so proud of our teammates. You know, we stuck it out to the end. A 97-yard drive. What more can you ask for? It's just the character of this team. And, you know, I love this dude next to me. We need to keep this rolling.
Matt, talk about that play to send it into further in the game, that connection with Kane and Severin. How were you guys able to pull that off?
You know, I mean, my fault. That's just that connection that we have, and I don't know. I just saw him. He put his hand up, and we practiced that all summer. You know, just a little scramble drill, and he made a play.
Final question: your confidence. You know, you had some ups and downs in this game. How do you stay up and keep fighting to keep this team up?
You know, just remind him moments like this. You know, triple overtime. We battled to win the game. We're down 3 with 2-4 minutes left. We come back, get a win in triple overtime. I mean, what more can you ask for?
Thanks, Mac. Congratulations. Kanan, quickly here, talk about your quarterback. You said he's the difference. Yeah. Talk about him.
He's a guy, yo. He's a guy, man. He led us to that win. I told him, man, we're going to get rolling soon. We want to compete with this game. And that's what we did, man. Dude's a fighter. He competes no matter what. He's a big-time player, man. I love playing with that dude. I'd do anything for him.
What does this, an experience like this in triple overtime, do for this team?
Get your dang your nerves going, I'll tell you that much, yeah, but it's a lot, man. We knew it was at stake. We knew we had to get this win, and it's big time for us, man. Big time for us.
All right, prime time performance from you. Congratulations.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it, Jay.
All right, guys, that's Kanan and Matt. Let's go back upstairs.
There are 2 outs. The lead at 4-2. The count at 1-2. Kirby set at the letters. Left-hander looks back at second. And now Kirby deals. Called strike 3. National champions. 1,186 miles back home. And the Hoos will head home with a trophy in tow. The 2015 national champions of college baseball are the Virginia Cavaliers. There is one team still standing. There is one team now dogpiling, and it is your Wahoos. For the first time in program history, the Cavaliers stand alone in college baseball. Fireworks going off overhead. Virginia celebrates in the middle of the diamond and now raise the trophy, held up appropriately by Big Game Brandon, who wins it tonight in what is likely his final start as a Cavalier. 7 innings, 2 runs, and the win. Nathan Kirby will get the save. Virginia, national champions.
Tonight, it's a pleasure for us to welcome now an author whose book was released nationally today. And that's our buddy Bob Perry, who has contributed to the program before. But today is a very big day for him because the national release of your book, Redemption Alley, How I Lived to Bowl Another Frame. Dang. So let's go ahead and say hello to BP and welcome him on to the program. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Jay. How are you?
We're good. And so, listen, I think some people in our audience are familiar with your story, but many are not. And we kind of want to start at the beginning. But I guess the first thing is, how does it feel to have a book that is released nationwide today that is about your life story? Just what goes through your mind when you think about that?
It's overwhelming. Did I believe 4 years ago that I'd be sitting here telling you that I have a national book release? And to all the hard work Stefan and I and everybody around us did. And it got done, it got picked up, and now is the exciting day when it was released.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now you're going to go on a tour, you know, you'll be around the country in different areas talking about your story. Now, what people need to understand, your story is a doozy. So let's clear that up first. It's not like you just decided to just write some book. Your life story, Bob, is a story of redemption, like the title, overcoming, breaking the bonds of addiction, you know, dealing with adversity that is beyond, dealing with the criminal element of the mob. You know, there's so much that's involved in your story. So let's start at the beginning. Why did you write this book? Before we get into more about Redemption Alley, folks that know that you were a former professional bowler. You won the high roller tournament twice and viewed as maybe the best of your time at one point. So that's great background information about you. But why write this book? Why tell this story?
Well, it all came down to I came here to Virginia to come for cancer treatments to save my life. And a friend of mine just said, you need to write the book. You need to write the story. And I had to find the right guy that would write it. Mm-hmm. And him and I sat down one day, and we got talking, and he said he would think about it, and we started. And I realized that the life that I, at what happened to me, what it was like and what happened now is like I lived on the edge for over, as my young age, up until I was in my 20s, I lived on the edge. It's a story about the guy who could have been the greatest bowler that ever lived, involving the mob, alcohol and drug abuse, homelessness, and what happened at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I was 18 years sober, I came here and I said, I believe it's the time to write it now, because it was the time that I could do it. And mm-hmm. I had nothing but time. And as I got into it, and as we started doing it, it became more and more and more into, wow, this could help a lot of people. It could change people's lives. It could change my life. And to do all that, it took an effort from me and Stefan. And he donated all the time that he could, because he's a tremendous author.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to have somebody like him who could write what I was telling him.